City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Peter Maverick.
I'm Amy Matheny. This Queer Cast is brought to you in part by
Bud Light. Always worth it. American Airlines, offering the GLBT community exciting vacation packages online at aa.com/rainbow.
And Broadway in Chicago and the Light in the Piazza. For the hottest tickets in town, visit broadwayinchicago.com.
Just a kiss, just a kiss. I have lived just for this. I can't explain why I've become this chatelaine. Just a smile, just a smile.
Hey folks, you are listening to the Windy City Queercast. This is show 114. I am Peter Maverick, and I'm pleased to be joined by my traveling companion, Todd Heat. Todd.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm fantastic. I'm in New York.
We're in New York.
I'm so excited.
I know. We're coming to you live from the 10001. Well, I don't know if we're in that zip code, but...
I can't impress you know zip codes.
Oh, you know.
I don't know the Chicago zip codes. So.
Shame.
I'm sorry.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, here we go. Start
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
We are at a place called Pearl on the Sushi or something like that. We're sitting down to have a bit of food, but really, I think the monumental event today was when I bought a laptop converter. No, when we...
That was pretty big.
It was pretty big. But even bigger was we had just... I think we're like 20 minutes sort of out of Spring Awakening.
Yeah.
The Tony and lots of other things.
Best musical this year.
Yes, best musical of... 07, what year is it?
It is
I know this is a code. I don't know what year it is. Can't even put two and two together at the moment because I'm delirious with hunger at the moment. Such I don't know. What did you think? Well, you had been listening to the music.
I got the score. I downloaded the score a couple weeks ago when I knew we were going to be going and seeing it, and instantly fell in love with the score. It's just such beautiful music. And so I was very excited to see it. I didn't really know the story. I kind of was piecing it together just from the music.
Yeah.
And it didn't really, you know, what was happening in my head. And I didn't really have a script. So.
Yet.
No, right. But God, I just loved it. What a.
Yeah, I think it's visually, first of all, so beautiful. I was incredibly impressed with all the lighting and how it was all pieced together. The musicians were on point. And of course, the singers slash actors and actresses
incredible.
Just so wonderful. And so when you, like, when there's a new musical that comes out, are you kind of, you go get the CD first
no,
and get into it? Or
I'm
no?
not. I'm really not. I'm not typically like that. And I, you know,
it's
I
a little
get,
backwards.
I get, I get all my musical stuff from the bar, from Sidetrack. I work with Sidetrack, for the, so those of you who don't know. So I get all my show tunes there. So, and it's rare that I actually go out and get a whole cast recording. Actually, although I will say last time I was in, not this past time, but the time before that I came to New York, which would have been about 2.5 years ago, I did get a couple of the CDs from the shows I saw, which was Boy from Oz and Wicked.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, obligatory.
Two good ones. Two very good ones, yeah.
Yeah.
But it was funny because the impetus of this trip originally wasn't the Spring Awakening.
No.
Obviously, we're here. Tomorrow we're going to be seeing Broadway Bears.
Can't wait.
So excited. What is it? Myth?
Myth Behavior.
Oh, Myth Behavior. M-Y-T-H. Myth Behavior. But of course the lisp is the obligatory.
Right.
Queer slants on it. Delicious. Go ahead, start.
Come on,
your
face.
I will sort of ask you questions with mouthfuls of food, I promise you.
Well,
that's how it works.
Oh, we have the tail on there, sure.
The tail, the ass, the backside. So, Broadway Cares, Equity Fights AIDS does this giant production every year. It's just a really beautiful, kind of like burlesque show. I think that's the best way I can call it. Yeah. Because I think it's not just a striptease. I think it's much bigger than that.
Oh,
it's big production numbers and...
And some of the most beautiful, amazing performers on Broadway.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
Some of the most beautiful dancers and, you know, beautiful...
Yeah,
dancers.
And 100% volunteer, as I understand it. All the people who are actually going to be performing are pure volunteers, so that is just absolutely delightful. And warms the cockles of my heart. But why do you like coming to New York? And I'll share with you why. Muncha, 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 crunchy, crunchy. I'll start.
Yeah, sure. Okay, go ahead.
I think I like New York because it's so concentrated in everything. The neighborhoods are so dense with whatever their particular neighborhood is known for. Example, we were just walking through the costume jewelry area. There's 50,000 costume jewelry shops right there. But I think that New York is so dense, and it's so dense, and I don't mean dense stupid, I mean dense as thick. And it's dense with whatever little cultural bits and pieces it has. In the arts, obviously, you have the Times Square area and such a vibrant theater community. In dance, you have so many great things like that. In fashion and everything, it's so densely populated with things like that. So I like New York because it's very intense like that.
Yeah, I do like the intensity of it.
What brings me here? When was the first time you came?
God, when was the first time I came to New York? It would have been, I think actually the first time I came to New York was the time that I told you about, which would have been about probably almost 20 years ago when I came to see that Twyla Tharp performance. Since I'm a big Twyla Tharp fan and
big
fanatic.
Fan.
And so I came to see a season that she was doing here at the City Center. And I try to make it back probably every year and a half, every 2 years.
Yeah. Well, we were here last year this time.
Yeah. Okay. Well, and then now, you know, with Broadway Bears, I'm trying to make it back every year for Broadway Bears because it's such an amazing event.
Yeah. And for a good cause, obviously.
Yeah, and for a good cause. And it's, for me to just come to New York, it is the intensity. It's you know, we're leaving. This is my vacation from Chicago.
Right.
And, of course, I go to a busier city. For
one concrete jungle to the next.
For vacation. But it's for inspiration and for fun. And,
yeah.
And, you know, to get to come see fun shows and yeah, just see what's happening here.
I always feel like when I come here, I leave with something I didn't know about myself.
Right.
Not something I didn't know necessarily about the world, but kind of about myself. Like, oh, wow, I like that. Or, oh, wow, I don't like that. I sort of likes and dislikes and passions. We had a fantastic night last night, and it sort of opened my eyes to something that's been a while. You know, I go in and out with the cabaret scene. In Chicago, it can be great or it can be really stinky. And I think in the queer cabaret scene, it's very limited, so you really have to look toward the straight people in Chicago to broaden your horizons a little bit more. We actually saw Isaac Mizrahi perform at Joe's Pub.
Fabulous.
It was so much fun.
So good, so good. And, you know, I mentioned that I like cabaret sort of either, it kind of has two switches for me. Either they're great storytellers or they're good singers. But he kind of had a little from column A and a little from column B.
He had his moments. You know, I don't think I'd go out and buy an Isaac Mizrahi's CD.
No,
but
not so
he
much.
Was, just he's such a delight to watch. Mm-hmm. He's charming. He's got a great rapport with the audience. He's got a great wit. And
an incredible band of hyper-talented people.
Yeah.
Hyper-talented. So good.
He was actually, I think he was like, he was the perfect way to start this weekend.
Yeah.
He was just a nice, he was just so New York.
It was.
Great New York sensibility. And we'll always have Lick My Balls.
Yeah, Lick My Balls.
Which was something you said in the show, which was hilarious.
So number one, I saw that big old ring on his finger. I didn't know he was involved in a relationship, first of all. I guess I didn't know that about him. But second of all, it was interesting, what Todd is referring to, he shared with us that he used to call sex lines.
Yeah, he said he wasn't having sex for a while. He was just kind of like sick of it and over it. And he did this actually, this whole thing about how gay sex is like really rough and difficult and hurts.
Was hysterical, made all the straight people in the audience
and
very
uncomfortable. We were like sweating and laughing so hard.
You know, all the gay boys were joking.
Howling. But then he said, you know, he just decided to stop. And instead of that, he'd do, you know, phone sex.
And I guess there was one time where he was with an older gentleman, I assume.
No. He didn't figure out. He was doing the phone sex thing with him, and then he didn't figure out until he said...
Oh, yeah.
Till the phone sex guy said, like, my balls.
Right.
That he had to be, like, in his 70s or something like that, because nobody in New York now would still use that kind of an accent unless they were, you know, much older.
Up there.
So I think that's my new catchphrase, is lick my balls.
Lick my balls.
I think I need a t-shirt.
So how would you... B-A-W-L-S? Mm-hmm. B-A-W-W-L-S?
Mm-hmm.
You have to be careful because it might look like lick my bowels. And then in which case...
Or my balls.
That one... My balls. Truly.
Yeah, that's hot.
And then on Monday... You know,
and we also forgot about the dance thing.
Oh, that's right. We had a good slash of modern dance at us.
It was fun. It was the same space. It was a Joe's Pub. Mm-hmm. And it was Stephen Petronio, mm-hmm. who was a modern dancer.
And he did a lot of his students, actually.
Yeah, it was former dancers of his who came back. And they're off and being choreographers and artists in their own right. Now they kind of all came back together and did this little dance jam.
Dance and it was Napolitan.
Yeah, Dance Napolitan. It was really fun. I mean, for me, it's like a lot of it was really exciting. I mean, some of it was, you know, got a little too serious. Or
I think when you were talking,
I'm not big on pretense.
One thing when you were talking about it last night, and I'm sort of paraphrasing what you said, but you talked about how modern can kind of go just that one little step too far with modern dance,
and then it gets a little right on that brink.
Yeah. And I like the excitement of it, sort of hanging on the edge, mm-hmm. not knowing what's going to... But the thing I love about dancing so much is watching the dancer's face, because I think that tells almost more of a story in many, many ways than the body. And it was interesting, the one piece where they took the dancer's face away. Shrouded in black.
Yeah.
And it really made me look more at the body. So that was the one thing I'm taking away from New York.
But that was one of my favorite pieces. And the woman that was dancing that piece was beautiful. Yeah. She was just such a beautiful mover.
She was gorgeous. And it started out with a sort of an Alice in Wonderland kind of audio clip.
Mm-hmm.
And then, it was really, really beautiful. So with that going on, tomorrow, Broadway Bears.
Uh-huh.
Monday, Cyndi Lauper and the True Colors tour. That's why I wanted to come to New York this time around. My big thing was to come see this at Radio City. I was able to get some tickets, and I was so excited about that. So,
yeah.
Have you ever seen a show there?
I've never been to Radio City.
I'm so excited
to be in Radio City.
I saw the camels pooping on stage during the Christmas Spectacular once.
Yeah.
But
well, I did. I did a show. Radio City has like the touring shows.
Yeah.
Then they had a Christmas show that was in Chicago, and I performed in that. But I've never actually been to the actual Radio City.
We're in for a treat.
I'm excited.
It's going to be totally fun. And then we have to return to jolly old Chicago the day after that. We need to figure out what we're going to do on Tuesday. Then we got a good slice of time.
We do some touristy daytime stuff.
Yeah. Touristy daytime.
Maybe that's when we're going to talk about going to the top of the Empire State.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe we'll do that then.
That would be a good
Hopefully
thing.
Hopefully we'll get that'd
a nice
day.
Thing. So, enough New York talk. We'll be back. I'm actually going to be doing another show, and we'll be talking about, because this is Pride Month and celebrating everything like that, but on today's show, we have the incredible, very, very diverse singer. I love so much that she's able to just really conquer genres. I think she really takes them there. And Tony Bennett loves her, so I gotta love her too. Katie Lang is with us.
Love Katie Lang.
Katie Lang is coming to Chicago. I believe, now I hope I'm getting this right, because otherwise I'm going to have to edit this out. I believe she's performing at Ravinia.
She is.
With Lyle Lovett. If she's not at Ravinia, she's somewhere with Lyle Lovett. So she's performing with Lyle Lovett. Let me just say that.
It makes sense.
Which is just an awesome combination, I think, because Lyle's so much fun. And he's sort of got this punk country thing that she kind of had, and they both raised it up together.
She used to be crazy punk.
Yeah. So it's going to be an interesting show. I hope I'm going to be able to catch it. I'm not quite sure yet what my schedule's going to look like. Bob.
I think, actually, that's this weekend.
Are you serious?
I think it's this weekend.
No.
Yeah, because it was the one show at Ravinia I wanted to go see.
No, and it's not at Ravinia.
No? Okay.
No, I don't think so.
Then I could be wrong. I could be wrong.
I think you're right that there's something at Ravinia. That's okay. I am too.
Bob.
No, I think the show is near. It's maybe in July.
So if that's the case, then I won't go see it.
Yeah. So anyway, we got Katie Lang on the show. As always, Amy is going to step in with somebody to do the news. Because I'm traveling, so I don't have to do the news. Amy's doing it. And next show up, we'll have the wrap-up of the Windy City Gay Idol. I heard some rumors, and I heard some great things, but...
Oh, my God.
Amy's going to be hanging out with some folks who were there, talking about it. So, Todd, we'll talk to you soon.
Well, thank
you. We'll be back on another show.
It was fun to be here.
Always fun. Always fun to travel with you.
Not just in New York, but on your podcast.
On the podcast.
Always a delight.
Always delicious. Delicious. That's my new word. Delicious. Everything's delicious. So, folks, we'll be right back after this.
Bye.
The overture begins. The music swells. You're swept away to the Piazza Michelangelo to discover the light in the piazza. Broadway's most romantic new musical in years and the winner of 6 2005 Tony Awards. As if by fate, a sudden gust of wind blows the hat from a beautiful young woman into the grasp of a handsome young Italian, and it begins. The passion, the romance, Broadway's ultimate love story, The Light in the Piazza. Critics have hailed it a must-see, a consummate work of beauty, with the most romantic score of any Broadway musical since West Side Story. It won the critics. It won the Tonys. Now let it win your heart. The Light in the Piazza.
This romantic new musical is coming to the Auditorium Theater July 10th through July 22nd. For tickets, call 312-902-1400 or visit BroadwayInChicago.com.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Professional Figure Skater.
Mr. Professional Figure Skater.
While lesser men strapped on skates and played hockey, you donned skin-tight leotards and a teeny cowboy hat and learned figure eights.
Going round.
Practiced and practiced, hoping, knowing, someday, you'd be good enough to wear a giant puppet costume and skate in an ice show.
Welcome to the big time.
Skate perfectly and you're a crowd pleaser. Mess up and fall on your butt, and you're still a crowd pleaser. So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, oh Titan of the Tights. You may never wear a medal, but sequins are shiny too.
Mr. Professional Figure Skate.
Light beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Great Toronto Summer Adventures! Today's episode, we will rock you! Legend has it that audiences at Queen's smash hit musical can't help but leap to their feet when the music starts. This is nonsense, of course, but it serves as a metaphor for... Oh my... Woohoo! Oh, I meant to do that. Hotel rates from $92 a night. Some conditions apply. Details at TorontoSummerAdventures.com.
A culture club. Culture club. Culture club. Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Weird.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of June 18th, 2007, you are in Chicago's Culture Club.
Openly gay actor, author, comic, and playwright Scott Capurro comes to the Lakeshore Theater, 3175 North Broadway, during Pride Month for two nights only, June 29th and 30th at 8 p.m. Don't miss his hilarious and provocative show on gay culture and life. Tickets are only $15. For tickets to Scott Capurro, call 866-468-3401 or visit lakeshoretheater.com.
Now on stage at Victory Gardens Biograph is acclaimed lesbian playwright Claudia Allen's I Sail with Magellan, adapted from Chicago author Stuart Dybbuk's provocative novel. Breathe deep, look and listen as Allen transforms from the page to the stage, Dybbuk's memories of Chicago's backstreet circa 1950. Passionate, poetic, profane, and powerful. For tickets to I Sailed with Magellan, call 773-871-3000 or go to victorygardens.org.
The grandeur of Shakespeare and the signature intimacy of Writers' Theater combine to create the potential for theatrical nirvana. Othello, the masterpiece of a general led into a frenzy of jealousy jealousy and insecurity by his most trusted soldier. Come closer to Shakespeare than you ever thought possible and fully realize the breathtaking characters of the world's greatest playwright. For more about Othello, log on to writerstheater.org or call 847-242-6000.
Northwestern University presents three new musical theater events at its Summer Music Theater Festival beginning June 21st with the Chicago Sound Connection, written, directed, and choreographed by David H. Bell. The festival's featured musical will be In the Bubble, opening July 27th, directed by Michael Greif, director of Rent on Broadway. Tickets start at $25. Call 847-491-7282 or visit tic.northwestern.edu.
Looking Glass Alice is playing now at its home at Looking Glass Theater Company in the Water Tower Waterworks after an East Coast tour. Adapted by David Catlin from Lewis Carroll's Alice's Adventures in Wonderland and Through the Looking Glass, Looking Glass Alice is an acrobatic and dizzyingly playful show for all ages. Variety called it extraordinary. For tickets, call 312-337-0665 or visit lookingglasstheater.org.
And for more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
And this is your Windy City Queercast News.
In Colorado, John Guerin, a homeless man, was tossed from a shelter because of his sexual orientation. Guerin had been staying at the Open Door Mission for approximately 3 weeks when the director, the Reverend Richard Thiebaud, reportedly told Guerin, "I don't allow homosexuals to use these facilities." Thiebaud confirmed that he told Guerin to leave, saying that Guerin flaunted his sexuality and flirted with another man.
In Massachusetts, state lawmakers voted 151-45 to defeat a measure that would have placed a constitutional amendment prohibiting same-sex marriage before voters on the November 2008 ballot. The proposed amendment threatened to undo the Massachusetts Supreme Judicial Court's decision recognizing marriage equality for same-sex couples.
In Missouri, a Kansas City man has been sentenced to life in prison for knowingly exposing individuals to HIV. Sean Sykes, 33, had unprotected sex with a woman and did not tell her he was HIV positive. At least three other women who had sex with Sykes have tested positive.
In Washington, D.C., Police Chief Kathy Lanier is disassembling special units designed for the Latino and GLBT communities, generating much criticism. Lanier contends that she is attempting to expand services throughout the city. However, activists say that the move will negatively impact the effectiveness of the squads.
The U.S. Navy is trying to stop an order that would send openly gay Petty Officer Second Class Jason Knight on a third tour of duty. Knight was first discharged 2 years ago after coming out. The military recalled him this year, but dropped Knight again after a story about him came out in a military newspaper, Stars and Stripes.
Industry pressure and a history of volatile behavior, including using anti-gay slur twice, contributed to Isaiah Washington's exit from ABC's Grey's Anatomy. Washington ended up losing $2.7 million that he would have earned for next season. Interestingly, while some feel that Washington got what he deserved, black lesbian activist Jasmine Canick, a friend of Washington, has said that the ones calling for Washington's head are what I refer to as the gay mafia, citing a division between Hollywood's white and minority GLBT communities.
Singer Kelly Clarkson has canceled her summer arena tour, citing slow ticket sales. This development came just 2 days after severing ties with her manager and as her newest CD, My December, is slated to come out. Clarkson said, "The fact is that touring is just too much too soon." While her new rep, Paul Fridlich, said that her fans should look forward to seeing her in a more intimate concert environment.
There is a feud between comics Ant and Joe Rogan. The openly gay Ant has gone after Rogan because the former host of TV's Fear Factor has said that Ant steals jokes from other comedians. Ant, feeling that Rogan wants to gay bash him by accusing him of something else, wrote, "Joe just can't come right out and call me a faggot."
Gay British television star Michael Barrymore has been arrested 6 years after a man was found dead in the actor's swimming pool. Stuart Lubbock was found dead in Barrymore's pool after a late-night party in March 2001. Moreover, the victim was found with alcohol, ecstasy, and cocaine in his system. Barrymore and others were questioned after authorities viewed tapes belonging to Tony Cowell, the brother of American Idol judge Simon Cowell. Tony is interviewing Barrymore for an autobiography.
Oh, Simon Cowell, always in the middle of it all. And that is your Windy City Queercast News.
Poppy Champlin, and you are listening to Windy City Queercast.
Lesbians are like stamps. Once you lick us, we stick. That's it!
Through the darkest days,
voice is evocative, whether you're hearing her sultry country twang or her aching, haunting cry. Katie Lang is a voice unmatched. No one sings that smooth, that pure, that passionately, that full. For two decades, Katie Lang has walked a road less traveled. Starting in country music, she journeyed to new genres, exploring pop with her award-winning album Ingenue, and then recording with Tony Bennett, who has called her the best singer since Judy Garland. And she has also used that voice as a pioneer for the community as an openly gay artist and activist. This summer, Katie is on tour with Lyle Lovett. I love it that they're on tour together. And she and Lyle will stop at Ravinia in the Chicago area for two shows, June 29th and 30th, but you can see her on her tour, possibly in a city near you. Hey, Katie, how are you?
Oh, good, good. Thank you for the sweet introduction. That's flattering.
I love to be sweet to Katie Lang. Come on. Who else am I going to be sweet to?
She's grinning from cheek to cheek on this, and it's delightful.
I am. You sing, you're just such an amazing singer and have been such a big support to this community. And I just want to go way back to the roots of the beautiful tree that Katie Lang is. Your home is Alberta, Canada. And I know that Canada has greatly impacted you. If anyone's heard your Hymns of the 49th Parallel, it's just an amazing, amazing CD where you cover Canadian artists from Leonard Cohen to Joni Mitchell. Why does Canada, what is it about Canada that creates such wonderful singers and singer-songwriters like yourself?
Yeah, it's a phenomena. In terms of per capita, we have an embarrassment of riches in Canada of great singer-songwriters. I don't know. I really don't know. I guess it may be the cultural melting pot, the different ethnicities that landed in Canada, or maybe it's the isolation and the harsh winter that allows people to stay indoors and practice for 8 years. I'm not really sure.
That would be why Chicago has good artists, too. It's the harsh winters.
Chicago's not much different.
Now, you have sung so many different styles of music, as I said from the intro, pop with Ingenue, disco with Cowgirls, and even on your summer LP, which I love, Invincible Summer. But you first hit the music scene with country music, and I'm a Tennessee gal, so before I came to know that I was gay, came to know that I was going to live in Chicago, I remember you from your country music days. Mm-hmm. Was country music really your earliest influence? As a singer?
No, it was one of my latest influences.
Oh.
So how did you land there?
Well, I started in classical music, and then, you know, just through the development of my own taste and through my sister's influences, sort of went into the singer-songwriter, the Joni Mitchell and Ricky Lee Jones, Kate Bush kind of genre. And then when I studied music in music college, I sort of started getting into jazz and so forth. It wasn't until after I got out of music college when I started to get into country music, sort of after I had been doing performance art and industrial punk music, because at that time I was kind of looking for something like really odd to throw, to lean towards. I was looking for, you know, it was kind of looking through secondhand stores and things that were sort of uncharted territory, at least for me. So then I landed on country music and really started to get a vision for sort of cowpunk and fell in love with Patsy Cline and sort of had an image of how I could approach country with a very liberal, gay, vegetarian point of view.
How did that go for you, Katie? Being from Tennessee, I'm just kind of curious how that went for you. Was it a struggle?
Popularity or in how?
I just mean trying to be a punk cowgirl. How did that go down for you?
Well, actually, it worked really well for me because there were a few people doing it. Jason and the Scorchers. It was early Dwight Yoakam days, early Lyle Lovett days.
Yep.
It worked okay because I managed to get a lot of attention. And as you know, that's a big part of moving forward.
Right.
And plus, I really, really did love what I was doing. I was really inspired by the contrast and by all the different hybrids I could create within that genre. But it went really well. I played a lot with the clothes. I had a lot to do with the style of it and the creation of the sound of the recline. So it was very creative time for me.
Well, and when you think of those albums, Shadowlands, Absolute Torch and Twang, you know, the other thing that you had was that your voice was so well suited. I think just to that music and that, well, your voice is suited to most genre that you tackle, but I just am curious, and now with you being out on tour for the first time with Lyle Lovett, do you have a yearning to go back and do country now at this point in your life?
Well, country music is something that I always, always, always will cherish and love. I don't think that I would go back entirely, just like I never really committed to it in the first place.
Right.
I definitely, country music is a part of who I am, so that will always be present, and of course I'll probably make a country record here and there in my next 40 years, but...
The whole, like, genre has changed so much since you were last there, I think. You know, it has moved progressively now to a more pop and more pop arena, so it seems that you'd really be able to come in and catapult it to the next level, I think.
Well, I think you're an optimist, but thank you.
Come on, how else can I live, KD, except as an optimist?
So with so much genre jumping, though, and that's one of the things I love about your sound, and Amy hit the nail on the head, I think that your voice really tends to flow to just about whatever you're trying to do. Does it get overwhelming, or is it underwhelming? Is it always what's the next thing that I'm going to get into, or is there so much to do that you don't have the time? What side of the coin are you on in that?
You know, that vacillates as well. You know, sometimes it's overwhelming, and I listen to, you know, my favorite eclectic public radio station here in Los Angeles, and I hear so much music, and I want to do all of it, and then sometimes I just can't think of anything that I want to do at all. So it really depends on my mood, and it's really... It really is about inspiration. When I find something, when I hear a sound that I really, really can wrap my head and my heart around, then I go for it.
Well, one of your chief inspirations and collaborator who has been very significant to you in the past decade has been Tony Bennett. How did you meet Tony, and how has performing with him influenced you?
Well, Tony is just... an unbelievable man. He's a really beautiful, beautiful soul, and asked me to sing with him in 1992 or 93 on his MTV Unplugged. And ever since, I think he won a Grammy for that, and we became really good friends. He's a painter. He's very Renaissance. He's very liberal. He's you know, really politically savvy and fiery, and we have great conversations and paints every day, and he's just a really great guy. So we sort of maintained a friendship, and of course he had the idea to do the duet record, and that was a dream come true, because, you know, I there has been so much interest and so many people covering the American Songbook that I felt that I really didn't need to go there, but being asked by Tony Bennett, it's almost like, you know, you're being...
The universe is summoning you.
Yeah, the divine is summoning you to take your own stab at it.
Exactly. It's like you're going directly to the source, and, you know, he helped create the American Songbook. So to learn from him was, it's just unbelievable, unfathomable that I would be able to be that close to have that sort of proximity to the real deal.
Yeah. Well, just out this past week, you also were involved in the brand new Ella Fitzgerald CD, We All Love Ella, which just has some amazing people besides, and including yourself, who have performed one of her songs. You do Angel Eyes. And I'm just curious, how did Ella Fitzgerald influence you? And when you were asked to do this this CD, did you know what song you wanted to do, or how did that process go? There's just so many. I mean, she's just influenced so many, especially men and women, and even instrumentalists. Yeah. I think. What was that like when you were asked to be a part of it, and how did you pick the song?
Yeah, Ella's a musician. She's She's beyond a singer. She's
absolutely.
She's a force. She's definitely a musician. And actually, Phil Ramone asked me to be a part of that and asked me to sing Angel Eyes specifically. So it was an honor to try to tackle that. I really, Ella has influenced me just as a listener. She's sort of beyond my capacity, so I just have to sit there and listen.
Did you ever try to be a scatter when you were studying jazz at music college?
You know, I'm not a big fan of scat, so I have to say, although I think Ella's probably one of the best at it, but I'm not a real big fan of scat.
Now, was there someone that you still today, I know you said sometimes you're hot and cold, you're listening to the radio and you're really turned on by somebody, or there's just nothing turning you on that you really want to reach out and create something new, but is there somebody that you'd like to collaborate with, as I say that here tonight?
Yeah, there's probably 1,000,000,000 people.
Well, just give me, less than 1,000,000,000 minus, 999,000,000, whatever that is.
Just
a couple.
You know why? Because I'm a big believer in cause and effect. So I think I will leave it up to the majesty of the world and consequences and just wait and see what surprises I get, because I really would have never thought I would work with Roy Orbison. I would have never thought I would have worked with Tony Bennett or Loretta Lynn, and yet the universe surprises you and it turns out to be totally beautiful. So I really like the element of surprise to be my guide.
So on tour with Lyle Lovett right now, can you give us a clue or a taste or just a tidbit of what we're going to hear at Ravinia? What do you have in store for folks?
Well, it's kind of an overview, a bit of an overview. There's, of course, some hymns of the 49th parallel. There's, one or two country things. But the couple songs I'm most excited about are two of my original songs from my next record, which is coming out in February 12th, 2008. I'm really excited about the record, and I'm excited to play a couple of those songs this summer.
Awesome.
Well, that's going to be exciting. That was my next question, was when's the new CD coming out? You're a great person to interview. You just give it to me before I ask. This is a good relationship we're having, Katie. It's starting off very nicely. So summer is finally here in Chicago, and I have to say, I mentioned this earlier, I love your Invincible Summer CD. It evokes summer to me at the true essence of just being on a beach, being barefoot, which I know you love. And just absolute and love. It evokes everything that's shiny and
good,
smiley and
feelings.
Happy. It does. Now, are you still singing barefoot?
I am.
Good. You know, we like some consistency here. And why do you do that? I know why, but why don't you tell our listeners why?
I don't know why.
Peter
doesn't know why.
Oh, now.
Well, see, I've interviewed you before, and this is the only same question that I ask, but I just think it's just at the core of what I believe to be Katie Lang is why you sing barefoot. So I'm going to let you tell Peter why you sing barefoot.
No.
Really?
No.
Okay, this is why Katie Lang sings barefoot. This is fabulous.
Happens,
we
Amy?
Don't even need her to be here.
I could have been interviewing
Katie Lang between myself and my other personality. My Katie Lang personality.
You're not that Gemini.
I'm not that Gemini. I'm just that Libra. Balanced my scales, see? Katie likes to sing barefoot because it grounds her into the ground, and she can feel a connection with the earth, and plus she just doesn't like shoes. Is that true?
That's pretty... Well, both of those things are true. Yes.
Yeah. There you go.
Is there an addenda? Is there an asterisk?
It could have changed. It's been a few years since I've interviewed you.
Is there something you want to add?
No, really, it really started because I don't wear leather.
Yes.
And finding appropriate plastic shoes became too much of a hassle.
Oh.
Crocs. And then they invented Crocs.
Yeah, no, yeah. Which I'm not a Croc fan, but...
Me either.
I'm not either, but they're...
It became so much simpler to just go out in bare feet and not let it be a big issue.
Yeah. So I love it.
Too late.
It became a really big issue. It was perfect because I'm quite used to that.
Well, I know, too, that you always say that you love to write when you're feeling in love. And obviously, you have a new CD coming out. Are you happily in love right now? I'm not going to be as specifics. I just want to know if I see. I'm not going to pry too far. I'm digging for the creative aspect of that. Are you writing from a place of happiness and joy in your life right now?
I definitely am. Yeah.
Look at that. That's the beautiful answer. Well, Katie Lang is appearing at Ravinia June 29th and 30th. Plus, she is out on tour with Lyle Lovett, probably coming to a city near you. All you have to do is visit for her tour information at kdlang.com. And if you want tickets to Ravinia, you can call 847-266-5100 or visit ravinia.org, and there'll be information. We'll have that linked on our podcast site as well, our Queercast site. And be looking for this album. We'll have a whole nother reason to talk, Katie. We'll see if the barefoot answer has changed somewhere around like late January before
that's
you
a
come
birthday
out.
Present.
I'm going to have to start a file.
I think so. Yeah. We'll just see how that answer grows.
That's an Aquarian birthday present for me. Thank you. Yay.
That's very good. February 12th, 2008, the new CD. Is there a name of the CD?
There is, but I'm not ready to divulge.
We'll call you in January. Yes. You'll right. call us. Or actually, I'll probably just know the answer to it by then somehow.
I'll probably have figured it out.
Katie Lang, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
And thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. This show is brought to you in part by Bud Light. Bud Light, always worth it.
And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
And Broadway in Chicago, for the hottest tickets in town, visit broadwayinchicago.com.
So that's our show. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Peter Maverick. Please comment on our shows on our website and in iTunes.
The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it.
Windy City Queercast, queer and now.
The best and the brightest served up daily by the sharpest minds in content delivery, Pod Show and Limelight.